This morning we're going to look at another block of Psalms, beginning with the fourth division, or book four of the book of Psalms. And we're going to look at 90 through 95 briefly, and then spend more time in Psalm 90. But Psalm 90 is about really redeeming the time, and we're going to spend time there. Psalm 91, the way we read this morning, great psalm. How really the Bible talks about, you know, he who dwells in the place of the you do make your dwelling with him, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then later on, the psalmist says, and because you have made God, who is my refuge, your habitation, dwelling, abiding, and living in him, with him, making your life, a life of living in Christ. Promises. Psalm 92 is the benefits of praising the Lord. Look in Psalm 92. Look in verse 4. Look at a couple verses here. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. Made me glad. You ever make somebody say uncle? He makes us glad. That's a beautiful promise. I mean, that's all we want, right? Is to be happy, enjoy life. He makes us glad. We turn to him. Look down in verse 14. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. The promise is the benefits of a life of worshiping him, following him. Psalm 93 is a short psalm about the Lord's majesty. He's clothed in majesty, his holiness, like he, wearing clothes, bright garment, describing his majestic holiness. Psalm 94, another psalm about vengeance and God's wrath, and that vengeance belongs to God. It's his department. He's the judge. He's the only judge. And then Psalm 95, the one we read before the service, is really a call to worship. Come, let us worship. Bow down. Submit. Submit your heart to him. Later on in the psalm, it talks about, you know, those that submit, bow, worship. And then the contrast of those that went through the wilderness that didn't enter into the promised land because they didn't believe God. Really a psalm about trusting God and submitting to God. Psalm 95. But Psalm 90, we're going to spend some time with this morning, is a psalm written by Moses, which probably makes it the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. And, a psalm written by Moses, if you think of Moses and his life and what God called him to lead 3 million, estimated 3 million Jews out of Egypt, wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. And most believe this is probably what sparked, you know, the writing of the psalm is when they came to Kadesh Barnea, and because of lack of trusting in God and their lack of faith, they didn't enter into the promised land, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. God turned them around, and for 40 years, Moses witnessed the generation die in the wilderness rather than live in the promised land, because they didn't trust God. They didn't believe in God. Most believe Moses wrote this psalm because of that, what he witnessed. Look in verse 7, Psalm 90. And keep in mind that, them wandering through the wilderness years on end. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath, We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Number our days, really, you know, speaking about making good use of our time while here on earth. So really, this morning's sermon or message is a class on time management, in all truth. You can enroll over at Macomb and take some courses on time management, but it's all here and you can receive it in less than 30 minutes. According to the Scripture, according to His Spirit, in truth. Time. Teach us to number our days, making the most out of our time or out of our life. Time's broken down, we know, in years and months and weeks and days and hours and minutes and moments. In verse 10, Psalm 90, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, you know, broken down in years here, and the average years, you know, back then, those wandering in the wilderness, 70, 80 years, time, how much time we have. They say the average lifespan now is 76 plus, between 76, 78 years. My dad passed away at 76, my grandfather at 77, right there, an average. You know, time, broken down in years. But I seen something the other day on Oprah Winfrey. I don't normally watch Oprah Winfrey, but we worked late, and I turned on the TV while I was winding down. I guess they have a rerun of Oprah Winfrey. It's about the Blue Zones. I don't know if any of you seen it. But those that live the longest, you know, longevity of life around the planet. And I caught the end of it, so it was only concentrating on the United States. And it's all in Loma Linda, California, per capita, where people live the longest. It was kind of cool. You know, it showed a couple of really old people. This one lady, 104 years old, you know, still lifting weights. She was going at it, man. Just swinging weights around. And then, you know, full of life, spunk, still sharp. And then another man, 96 years old, a heart surgeon, still, you know, performing heart surgery. 96 years old, full of life, vigor, vitality. Well, you know, they were likening to, you know, lifestyle, their diets and so forth, and why they lived so long. They ate well. They kept active. Faith, community. But length of days, broken down here. 70 years, and by reason of strength, they might get 80 out of it. Broken down in years. Time is short. Look back in verse 47, Psalm 89. Remember how short my time is. You know, time is short. If you look in verse 5, at the end of verse 5 in Psalm 90, it says, In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. And in the evening is cut down and withered. You know, liken man's lifespan to grass. You know, flesh is like a vapor. Flesh is like grass, grows up, mowed down quickly. Brevity of life. Life is short. Time is short. There's only 168 hours in a week. But God's take on time, here in Psalm 90, look at verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Before, you know, if you think of the earth and the age of the earth, or the mountains. Mountains are pretty strong. They've been around for a long time. And you look at them and think of how long they've been there. The psalmist says, you know, before the earth, before the mountains, you are from everlasting. Warren Wiersbe makes an illustration or example about there's a difference between immortality and eternality or eternity. You know, we have an immortal soul. We'll never die. We're going to transcend. Man, either we'll go to heaven and reside in heaven eternally, or into perdition, the Bible tells us, never dying, never ceasing. But there's a difference between him and us. For before, you know, he has no beginning or end. He's from everlasting. And, you know, you liken the example that, you know, of the earth and the mountains before they were. God is from everlasting, eternally. And, you know, so it's even before the concept of time. For time, we grab our concept of time by the earth's rotation. God created the earth and spun it into orbit. And, you know, how we, through, you know, time have came up with the concept of how to keep and track time. But before the record of timekeeping, God is from everlasting. The contrast in the psalm, God's take on time. You know, we compute time according to our birthdays. And before the earth was in rotation, God is from everlasting. In the psalm here, it says that a day to the Lord is like 1,000 days. Different take on time than what we have. But he writes in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Number our days, redeem the time. Teach us. You know, the psalmist, Moses, watching a generation die in the wilderness, praise to the Lord. Oh man, Lord, help me use my time rightly. Teach me. I need to be instructed by him. I need to learn how to make good use of my time, time management, how to redeem the time. He has to show me. I must learn. I need his instruction. Look in verse 12, Psalm 94. "Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law." Instructed by the Lord. We have a choice to heed the Lord's voice, to obey, to submit, to come under his instruction, or reject or neglect. In verse 8, Psalm 94 talks about a foolish lot. "Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile." Look at verse 13. "That you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked." Contrasting a senseless, foolish lot that reject and don't take heed to God's instruction. Don't want to listen. Don't want to regard his word, his law, his voice, him. "To those that do." And those that do, notice in verse 13, I like this verse, "that you may give him rest from the days of adversity." The psalmist, Moses, talks about, you know, praying to the Lord, "Teach us, Lord, how to number our days, redeem our time, make good use of our time." The Bible tells us what time is for. It's, you know, to be used for Him. It's for Him. It's to honor Him. Time is for salvation. It's as if, you know, to come under His instruction, we enter a class of salvation 101. We're to learn from Him. He's to instruct us. He's going to correct us. He's going to show us the way. And we have a lot to learn. The Bible tells us, you know, He saves us from foolishness. You know, from wasting our time. Teach us to number our days, that You may grant us a heart of wisdom. Give us wisdom, Lord, to rightly use our time. Spending time purposefully, righteously. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 90. For You, Lord, have made me glad. I will triumph. Oh, wrong Psalm. For 1,000 years in Your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. Time, according to God, is different than how we see it. And we're to come in tune with according to the way He sees it. We're to see it eternally. At our time here is for salvation, but He's fitting us for eternity. Interesting. You take that verse, you know, and as Peter does, takes it to the New Testament, and he uses it to expound a principle. If you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter, using that, you know, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years, to illustrate eternity and our time schedule and bringing things in perspective, we can learn. We need to be taught and come under His instruction. Peter, in chapter 2 Peter, chapter 3, look in verse 8. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. You know how He numbers His days, how He's counting off His days. He's not slack, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord's take on time is salvation, that all come to repentance, that all be saved. Peter taking that verse, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years of our time. Look in verse 15, 2 Peter 3. He says, and consider that the long-suffering of the Lord, of our Lord, is salvation. It's about salvation. Time is for Him, and it's about salvation. Salvation of others. All come to repentance. The psalmist writes, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's our gain to look to Him for instruction, to come under His instruction, His word, His law, His spirit, to submit to Him. It's our gain, to gain a heart of wisdom. Ephesians, Paul writes about redeeming the time twice, once to the Ephesians, once to the Colossians. He says, in Ephesians 5, he says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He teach us to number our days. He grant us a heart of wisdom. Don't be unwise, Paul says. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. And know God's will, is what Paul teaches the Ephesians. To know God's will. Is wisdom. Really, to gain a heart of wisdom is to understand what God wants, what God desires for us personally, His will for my life, is possessing a heart of wisdom. Paul writes to the Colossians, he says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. To the Colossians, he says, you know, watch what comes out of your mouth. Redeeming the time. that you be careful what you say for others' salvation's sake. Witnessing. The truth of, redeeming the time, time management, making good use of time, spending time well, is for knowing God's will, is for witnessing. Coming into his perspective is that none should perish, but all come to repentance, all turn and come to repentance, that we would, understand his perspective. It's about salvation. It's about our own salvation. He just saves us from our own foolishness or wasting time. And it's about others. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. When you talk, may it be coated with grace, seasoned with salt. Keeping in mind that you may know how you ought to answer each one, he says. Being a witness and knowing how to answer for others' salvation. From wasting time to saving time. Now, the Bible tells us God intervenes and coming under his instruction delivers us. In the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas were in Lyconia and they were teaching. And then the priests of Zeus and all the people came and they started to offer sacrifices to him. And Paul says, man, we got the same nature as you. Don't do this. And he says, that we are men with same nature as you. Redeem, turn from the vain things to the living God, he says. How God does help us, stop wasting time and using time foolishly. The Bible tells us that, time, according to God's perspective, is about salvation. Us, foremost. He loves us. He wants us saved personally. But part of our salvation, the Bible tells us, we are being saved. We're in the process of salvation, from the time we spent and how we use our time. Redeem the time. Teach us to number our days, the psalmist prays, from wasting time to saving time. Time is for salvation. It's our game to comply to his instruction and submit to him. This psalm we read this morning for the scripture reading in Psalm 91, look in verse 14. The answer. Notice, I love this psalm because it's God speaking in the first person. This is God speaking directly. It's not like, hey, this is what, Paul said, God said. This is God speaking directly, answering the man who makes his dwelling place abiding and habitation in the Lord. In verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Really, the blessings of coming under his instruction or submitting to him. Notice he says, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him, I will honor him, I will protect him, I will exalt him, I'll give him long life, I'll satisfy your life. All the promises for those who do comply. It's our gain to comply. And how to get a good handle on time management. He says in this close in Psalm 91, because he has set his love upon me and because he has known my name. That was the stipulations. Loving him and knowing him. Good time spent. I believe that the last 20 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes, we spent time wisely. It was time well spent worshiping him, time in his word. And, we have, it's about his salvation. And the psalmist says, teach us, help me learn, Lord, to number our days, to redeem the time, and that I may gain a heart of wisdom. It's our gain to be living under his instruction, to gain a heart of wisdom. Let's stand. Time management, according to the scripture. Let's pray. Lord, we do look to you, and we thank you, Lord. And Lord, we know your word says, Lord, that today is the day of salvation. And it's about salvation, our life, the present, this moment, about you and your plan and your purpose, your word, your spirit, to love you, to know you, to worship you. And Lord, we do, we ask that you stir us up, that your hand be upon our lives, that you fill us with your spirit, Lord, that you accomplish your will, that you'd reveal to us your will to us, the will of God, that we might know, Lord, that you put guard over our mouths, that we realize we're witnessing for you, even when we're not trying to. Lord, we turn to you. We ask that we recognize, Lord, that we love you. We know you, that you're going to do the rest of this. And Lord, do cause us to use our time wisely. We submit to you. And we do trust you, Lord, to lead us, to guide us, to protect us, give us rest in times of adversity. Lord, we commit ourselves to you afresh. And Lord, we ask that you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.